Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning into Rema Remnant Radio, a broadcast designed with the minister in mind. Stay tuned for a special message from Elder LaVon Breland.
Want to work for a kingdom organization? Have regular phone and internet access? Have a creative mind? Willing to give God your best? Congratulations! You are qualified to join our team. Urban Glory Campaigns is a faith-based corporation for global leadership. Our organization aims to minister to industries, communities, congregations, and cultures that do not look to the organization because of its religious background, but to the principles taught by our founder that reaches the very hearts of mankind regardless of religious, political or socioeconomic backgrounds. With deep-rooted convictions, our message is a provoker of change. Experience the glory.
Coming to your community is the Word and Power-packed Rema Group University meeting. Call 641-715-3800, extension 91120. That's 641-715-3800, extension 91120 for more info.
Thank you for listening to USWAT Radio. This is Selena Olivia, President of Urban Glory Campaigns. Airing tonight is a special broadcast. We look forward to our audience expanding globally and the glorious gospel and doctrine of Christ continually stirred in the hearts of kingdom leaders across the globe. If you would like to partner with us, whether it's with a monthly or a one-time contribution, we appreciate your giving. Visit our website at www.urbangloriecampaign.web.com and go to our partners page. That's www.urbangloriecampaign.web.com and go to our partners page. Stay tuned for tonight's broadcast.
Good evening. Welcome to the Leadership Institute. My name is LaVon Breland, and I'm the commentator for this particular program. If you have a notebook and a pen, tonight we're going to deal with leadership principles that I think will help you. Many people go to schools and pay thousands of dollars to get the information that you will get tonight. And I believe as a result of you taking the opportunity to set yourself down and listen in a quiet environment to these truths, it will help prepare you. Tonight's Institute begins with the concept of strategic leadership. Strategic leadership. I believe that leadership must be taught in the body of Christ, not for the sake of people establishing visions on their own, but being complementary to the overall commission of the Lord Jesus and then to the congregations which they are committed to. I find that there's a great disconnect. You will find that many people attend congregations and never display true leadership qualities within their congregation. And so their commitment level, I believe, is ultimately hindered because and not fully realized because the church has not a healthy system in place to acknowledge what their giftings and qualities are of leadership and how to make it applicable and beneficial to the kingdom advancement agenda. The kingdom advancement is first seek God's kingdom and his righteousness. And all other things, Matthew 6:33, will be added unto you. So the acknowledgement of God's kingdom's convictions then awakens the need for leadership in the body of Christ. Therefore, it must be taught. How can they hear, the scripture says, without a preacher? And faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. There is nothing that can more effectively teach you leadership principles than God's word, because the whole origin of leadership derived from scriptural basis and historical documents. So tonight, let's deal with strategic leadership. God sets up strategic leadership for the sake of functioning and advancing his agenda in the earth realm. So there is a need for leadership. Although everyone has leadership qualities and capabilities, everyone is not in leadership. The first thing we must begin with is isolating a pattern that we should adapt ourselves to when it comes to joining and committing ourselves with organizations and infrastructures. First being that there is a structure of authority. And ultimately, the structure of authority in the overall concept of leadership deals with the visionary up at the top, then the leadership body, and then those people who are either buying or selling those products, or the customer clientele. So you have the visionary, the leadership, and the clientele. What I want to focus on tonight is the leadership body. But there must be a clear distinction between the leadership body and the visionaire. And that comes as a result of understanding the dynamics of strategic leadership. Well, let's give a long definition of leadership so that way we can see the distinction between a visionary leader and a leader who works for a vision. And that is important. When there is no sense of identification, there lacks confidence. And when confidence lacks, leadership is ultimately affected. So we must first organize, and then we must prioritize. And through prioritizing things, we will see what has been authorized. So let's look at this definition. Now, it's kind of long, but I want you to hear the concept and then take down as much as you can. I will read it slowly. Leadership embodies authority, which forms their attitudes, behaviors, and values to control, correct, or challenge systems, sets of knowledge, and social norms with creative forces and forms of work to achieve capabilities needed to conceive or reconceive dedicated visions. Leadership develops organizational cultures, the capacity to meet and resolve challenges that work culture faces on a day-to-day basis, to produce clarification and integration to competing values that will advance or deter adaptive working efforts to the overall dedication to a vision. So here we see that leadership embodies authority through their attitudes, behaviors, and values to correct, control, and challenge systems, sets of knowledge, and social norms, creative forces, and forms of work to achieve positive capabilities needed to conceive or reconceive dedication to the vision. So leadership works for the vision. Leadership works for the vision. When there is a vision, the Bible says, when there is no vision, the people perish. And we know, and it says people cast off restraints in another translation. So we understand that leadership then is set to work for the vision. And so what we do is we determine what that work is. First is a perception. Through its attitudes, behaviors, and values, it controls, corrects, and challenges systems and sets of knowledge and social norms. Why? Because that's the working of the leadership. And as a result, it develops organizational cultures to meet the capacity of revolving changes and challenges that the culture workforce faces, and the app to produce clarification and integration to competing values that will advance the work efforts toward the dedication to the vision. And so when we have that in place, and when we have people in place that are set to commit their work efforts to the vision, then we will see a true leadership body. And leadership is not necessarily influential, but it is always productive. And one of the laws that you must understand is the law of motion, which states all things, all functions must be residuals. Everything that goes on must bring some type of benefit. And in this case, leadership must always bring some benefit towards the vision. If there is no vision, then there is no need for leadership. So let's look at some things concerning leadership. Leadership thrives on accomplishments, which is the capacity to clarify values and make progress despite challenges that attempt to distort the pure value system of the vision. Leadership creates strategies that reflect characteristics of integrity to empower their strength with understanding visionary and cultural states of affairs. With the understanding that they conceive, leadership communicates the vision's convictions by their interpretation, analysis, and distinguishing causes and effects, facts from fictions, and formulating progressive steps to achieve goals that would uphold and keep progressive the values, beliefs, and habits needed for profit and success for the vision. So then leadership creates systems that establishes the motivation to achieve excellence in work cultures by composing progressive information bases, technologies that complement the affairs needed to expand and profit the vision. The collection of scholastic workforce ultimately will cause success when leadership is in place for the sake of the vision. So there are some things that we must learn concerning leadership. And the first thing is leadership must have certain things affixiated, one being their scholastic endeavors, their unique gifts and qualities, their partnerships, and their life planning and legacy building skills. So there are some things that they must resolve when you're in leadership, just personal things that you should do. When you find out that you're a part of leadership, you should, number one, resolve to be excellent in all things. Everything that identifies your course of work should be done in the nature and the reputation of the one who you ultimately live for, and that's God. And if God does everything in decency and in order, so should you. So you should resolve to be excellent in all things. Number two, you should always possess planned actions for your daily affairs. All things. Lord, teach us how to number our days and apply our hearts unto wisdom. And in doing so, you will find that you can order some things around. And then number three, you must acknowledge acknowledge reality of actual occurrences through true introspection. You must always be in a place of evaluation. And then number four, you must react forcefully when it pertains to producing results from conflict. The more you learn how to resolve and deal with conflicts, the better apt you are to be effective in leadership. And then number five, you must become personally responsible for how you create moments and times. You are responsible for your reality. And so it's very imperative that you learn from the onset the importance of establishing a basis for your leadership, so that way when people see you, they can see that these concepts of leadership eternally exist. They are basic forms that we all can exhibit on a regular fashion. Well, let's talk a little bit about the anatomy of leadership, awakening the anatomy of leadership within. The anatomy of leadership is a process of advancing the personal attitude to become excellent in five realms of influence. Number one, accountability. We must become accountability. Leadership develops a method of commitment that constructs tasks and communications that will not fail because of true character development. Number two, applications. Leadership directs knowledge bases and study habits to the most effective opportunities that will promote true influence and effect. And then number three, administration. Leadership dynamically creates work environments that displays discipline, dialogue strategically, and diligently seek perpetual improvement, always looking for a better opportunity. And then number four, assessments. Leadership diligently reviews courses of action systematically, always giving growth the chance to excel by constant knowledge-based development. Again, we said earlier that you need to focus on making sure that you are that your scholastical endeavors are complementary to what your goal is, which ultimately your knowledge base will be defined by the core value system of the vision. And when that is communicated to you, then you develop the leadership through the basis of knowledge, through assessment. And then fifthly, affirmations. Dialogue with yourself and others authentically and, most importantly, positively. Now, positive affirmations will come not for the sake of just stimulating emotionally, but keeping a fresh perspective and innovative approaches to leadership challenges that they face on a regular basis. So, there are several things that are at stake, and we'll close with this. Several things. Number one, competence awareness. You got to learn something. Leadership always seeks to excel. There is no need to place a person in leadership who doesn't have a high peak performing competence. And you must become competently aware of where you are. So that means always seeking to improve yourself. And then character. Now, character is established through communication, observation, meditation, mediation, and most importantly, revelation. And then thirdly, creative thinking skills. And then fourthly, critically analyzing challenges that come. And then fourthly, learning how to be healthily competitive. Competitive. Not competitive to get ahead over someone else, but always advancing to excel and to bring out the excellence from within. And as a result, you are awakening the anatomy of leadership within. So thank you for listening to tonight. I know that was a lot, but we gave you a specific amount of information that will help you achieve great exploits for the kingdom of God. And there's more on the next part of this commentary. Thank you for listening to tonight's broadcast. If you're listening by internet and you need to get off the internet for some reason, you can always dial 646-595-4877. Again, 646-595-4877. Tonight we're discussing Awakening the System of Strategic Leadership Development, Commentary 2 on the Strategic Leadership Institute. Let's go to the Father as we ask for his assistance in tonight's deliberation. Father, we thank you all for this day, knowing that this is the day that you have made, and we rejoice and are glad. We thank you for another opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. It's the authority of your word that gives me the confidence to make boldly known the mysteries of the good news of the gospel of Christ, as I ought to tonight. I do yield my members to obey what the Spirit has to say to the church. Holy Spirit, as educator and guide, I thank you for clear articulation of speech and deliberation of thought, systematic flow tonight under the subject matter, Father. Holy Spirit, I yield my members to obey what the Spirit has to say to the church. And Father, in everything you be glorified in the things that shall be accomplished and revealed. It is in the name of Jesus that we do praise you and give you glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. In the previous lesson, we talked about the anatomy of leadership, discussing the process of taking advantages of personal attitudes that become excellent in the five realms of influence: accountability, applications, administration, assessments, and affirmations. We gave a comprehensive definition of leadership, which states that leadership embodies authority, which forms their attitudes, behavior, and values to control, correct, or challenge system sets of knowledge and social norms with creative forces and manners of work to achieve positive capabilities needed to conceive or reconceive visions. This development of organizational cultures, the capacity to meet and resolve challenges that work cultures faces, and the app of clarification and integration to competing values that advances the course and courses of work for the vision, always achieves dedication through leadership. And so that is a comprehensive definition of leadership, and we dealt with some practical principles of how leadership will awaken. Tonight we want to talk about the activating forces of the culture of leadership. And one of the things I want you to always remember is that leadership action flows naturally with people who possess revelation. And so we must begin again to chart the structure of authority as it pertains to functioning as a leadership culture. Now, I believe that the church needs to awaken to the culture of leadership. One, it's going to happen through institution. It's going to happen through institution. There needs to be a systematic structural instruction on how to exist as leadership within the church. And then, two, there needs to be an inspiration. And inspiration will come as a result of people who positively have that proclamation of the concepts of leadership. And then there needs to be, certainly, an impartation, whereby only God can give the credence and the signature needed to bring about success in leadership. And when those things occur, I believe we will see the kingdom of God on the earth as the earth being a microcosm of heaven. And so ultimately we have to always resolve to the kingdom commission that was allotted through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was about manifesting God's kingdom, God's intent, his will, his motive of doing things on the earth as it is in heaven. And so there are five personal skills that I think you need to achieve when you talk about leadership. Of course, you need to identify what you are. And remember, in the last lesson, we talked about there being three basic realms of authority as it pertains to the construction of business, meaning that there's the visionary authority, which is the authority that's established on the vision, those who possess the core values of the vision instinctively. Those are visionaries, and that's a different form of leadership than the leadership that we are coining under strategic leadership. But then there's a leadership body, which are people who possess qualities to influence and to inform and to infiltrate the change needed to create this culture that will yield profits and success for, again, the kingdom of God. And so when that is set, then we can communicate that to the rest of the congregants who are committed to the core values of the overall vision, which is the kingdom of God. So when those realms of authority are distinct and they are established through institution, through inspiration and impartation, then we will see a great change occur in the communities of faith. And so there are essential skills for achieving excellence that should be self-adapted. And when I say self-adapted, anybody who wants to be a part of leadership, whether they are visionary leaders or actual leaders that support a vision, when they go about establishing what they are, they need to possess some excellence in their practical skills. And number one is time management. Number two is problem solving and solution strategies. Number three is advanced communication skills. Number four is marketing methodologies, and number five is educational advancement. So when those things are in place, we will see these changes take place. And remember, I told you that you need to be competent, you need to have character, creative thinking, capacity, to critically analyze and competitive awareness is last lesson, because I think those are pivotal to you being successful in leadership. So when we have time management, problem solving, advanced communication, marketing methodologies, and spiritual education, I believe we will excel in this culture. Now, what we're talking about is creating a culture of leadership in the community of faith. And in order to do that, the community of faith must isolate what qualities of leadership it possesses within its community. Many people are a part of communities of faith that have no knowledge of what they truly possess, their qualities. One of the things I do in my organization and any organizations I'm committed to is I communicate the importance of getting an understanding of who is among you. The scripture says, know those that labor among you. In other words, know their vocation. Know what they're there for. And a lot of times you go to churches and you might be sitting next to a lawyer, a judge, a government worker, or a construction worker, or custodial worker, and you have no idea of what qualities they naturally possess. And generally, when you don't have their natural qualities, then you most likely don't know their spiritual qualities. And so I cannot stress the importance of provoking the visionary leadership to take note of the importance of taking a spectrum or a probing, rather, of the qualities within your communities of faith, because they can become beneficial for the overall objective of the expansion of God's kingdom on the earth. And so that's very important. So there's things to do to activate a culture of leadership, and there are stages to this. The first phase of this stage is isolating the visionary leadership within the culture. There needs to be a distinction amongst who is a visionary and who is a leadership that who is the leadership that supports the vision, because those are two different institutions of leadership. The visionary leadership possesses the core values needed to produce vision in people's lives, and those are generally placed within the gifts that God has established in the church through ordinance, which means he ordained them, he sanctified them, separated them unto the work to be the leadership for the church. And those cannot be determined by physical characteristics and traits and or personality traits that many people try to attest to supernatural gifts, but they are supernaturally imparted within people. And that is the vision that God has given. God has opened up their eyes and open up their understanding to obtain the things of God. Even the disciples who established the church had an opening of the mind through the Lord Jesus after Jesus resurrected from the dead and appeared to them over a 40-day period. He opened their understanding, the scripture says in Luke, to understand. And so that's a visionary institution. And so once that is isolated, then there can be a governing factor that distinguishes leadership, and that will come through, secondly, an inspiration of people of high competence and commitment that is encouraged to commit to the core values of the vision. So when there's an isolation of visionary leadership, there will be an inspiration for people to commit to the visionary leadership. And what has to happen through that inspiration, and then it needs to be a presentation of objectives and goals and agendas, and that's transmitted through either oral, written, verbal, and social communications and networking amongst the visionary leadership, so that way they can isolate. But again, that has to be a result of that person being able to see qualities and uniquenesses in others. So we cannot downplay the importance of that type of leadership inspiration. Thirdly, there needs to be an initiation of excellence in every aspect of personal character and development. And that's also self-produced. Everyone must seek to excel. Well, first of all, if God's nature and reputation is excellent and we endeavor to be like God, then we should always endeavor to be excellent in our reputation and our nature. And so when we initiate excellence in every aspect of a personal character and development, we will see this culture awaken. There's an isolation, there's an inspiration, there is initiation, and then there's imitation. Fourthly, we imitate discipline in others. You can vividly see the fruits of profits and success, meaning that there is certain success that can be vividly seen in people's lives, but it's a byproduct of them committing to discipline. And when you imitate people's discipline, well, you can only imitate people's discipline through observance and truly observing others, and that's what always needs to be done if there's going to be effective communication. There needs to be an initiation of discipline or imitation of discipline. And it's not mimicking people's things, but it's isolating, first of all, what is the order that causes them to create sequences of events. And when that occurs, then you will vividly see the fruits of profits and success, and that will motivate you to imitate them. Okay, not just doing what they do, but it's more than that. It's seeing why they do what they do, and then taking what is most beneficial, that you can vividly see the profits and success, and adapting it to your pursuit to discipline. And then fifthly, then you need to increase your mental capacity by constant learning environment. When there's a constant learning environment, there will be an increase in your mental capacity. The perception will be enhanced through opening your mind, through reading, writing, and taking courses and sets of knowledge. And I think that's important for this generation to truly understand. When we have an isolation, an inspiration, an imitation, an initiation, and an increase in learning, we will see the activation of a culture of leadership. Well, let's give some qualities to leadership that I think is pivotal for our progression in this society. Five essential qualities of leadership. Number one is godly character. The greatest quality reveals their unique oneness with their relationship with God, to concern themselves to his truths, which will result in people's trust, worthiness, and transparency needed for confidence in that leader. And that confidence will be truly accepted when there's a clear communication from that leader exemplifying godly character. Number two, high forms of objectivity. Leadership is extremely conscious of functional spans that demands in-depth comprehension on the state of affairs, the roles needed to establish time objectives to achieve the vision and goals, a constant purpose to create passion that won't produce failure. And then thirdly, the leadership must be committed to excellence. Leadership composes order to produce high function, progressive profit, systematic results, and the motivation power that communicates moral and ethical traits needed to prove the value of the work they produce. And then fourthly, leadership locates other high functional leaders. Leadership desires to exist among scholastic successful achievers who not only produce success for themselves, but help foster leadership legacies for others within the same workforce. And then fifthly, leadership is designed to leave legacies. Leaderships are strong finishers. They endeavor to complete successful roadmaps by completing tasks and creating a system that will sustain past their personal work efforts. It creates a continuum in time. Leadership is designed to leave legacy. And so there are also five qualities that indicate that true cultures of leadership exist. And we have to remember that function comprises a form of clear understanding of a vision that demands objectives to be formed and processes to be achieved so that the vision can be actualized and seen within leaders. And so leadership will be determined by its function. And there are five ways to determine its function, and we'll close for tonight's session. Number one, the workforce. Function demands that activities be formed based on a plan of actions developed on critical analysis of achieving goals and ideas instituted by the vision to deem success and standards of a given organization. Number two, a systematic flow. A chain of well-thought-out research actions written for repeated implementation to establish successful, consistent effects to the actual vision. And then thirdly, educational advancement. pattern follow-through advances when leadership bodies excel in academic endeavors that also expand profit margins due to technological and educational advances instinctively occurring. Because the person is used to the process of meditation and observation and research, and then they will come accustomed to revelation. Revelation is always progressive. And then fourthly, creative solutions, systematic resolves will result in them creating improvements that will enhance the productivity of enlightening the manner of process to be more excellent through creation. They become creative, coming up with unique ways to bring about solutions. And they're simply expansive in profit margins. They always are finding ways to use low resources to bring in great dividends. And so that's how you can understand whether or not a true leadership culture exists. And again, I want to remind you that these qualities must be seen in these basic functions: time management, problem solving, advanced communication, marketing methodologies, and spiritual education. And when that is seen, you will see the activating of a leadership culture through development of strategic leadership. Thank you for listening to tonight's broadcast, and I trust that the continuing of this series will help enhance your outlook on developing strategic leaders. God bless you and good night.